Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't he wonderful?
Oh, yes.
I love him. He's so good. There is, there's kind of a lingering sense of his presence, I think, for healing. My wife confirmed that to me, but anybody have a need for a healing today? Yeah, yeah. Just signify it somehow. That's a prophetic act. You know, I need what God has. Ah, Lord, thank you that you're here. And where you are, you're always in fullness. We don't always see that fullness with our very limited vision. But you're always in fullness. You don't come in part. So Lord, as you're here, would you just move through the room? Those that have signified in one way or another, at home or here, just move in your healing touch, bringing restoration, bringing new. Somebody needs a new organ. Would you provide that, Lord? Somebody needs correction in their cellular structure, their DNA. Would you bring that, Lord? Would you bring your divine healing touch into the room right now, touching backs, hips and knees, Lord. Oh, hearts, Lord. Not just our spiritual hearts, but our physical hearts as well. Lungs and, oh, Jesus, what are you doing? Hearing. Just bring your touch, Lord. You are so good all the time. We acknowledge your presence. We acknowledge you here. Manifest your presence with each one, Lord. Gastric disorders. Bring your healing touch there. Lord, would you signify your movement in heat or just an acknowledgement that you're there working in someone's life, on someone's body. You're so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You feel that? That presence, that peace that's with us? He's doing something absolutely wonderful right now. Lord, let us have eyes to see, ears to hear what it is that you're doing. Just continue to work, Lord. So just stay in that receiving mode. You receive all you can from him. The songs this morning were delightful. I had not sung that dry bones song. That was good. There was something on that. Did you feel that? The juice on it. it was good. Thanks, Amanda. Thanks, worship team. That's so good. Yeah. Well, you know, as we move through this time, It's hard to tell whether you're getting more discerning or less discerning. I mean, I could just talk from my own life, but you know, I want to believe I want to believe some of the things that might be conspiracy. Wes says they're not theories anymore, that they're proven. Once they're proven, they're not theories. So the conspiracies that are out there. I want to believe some of them because I just can't, like, 2 and 2 doesn't add up to 4 the way it's being presented to us. And the manipulative processes that we're going through make me doubt the storyline we're being fed. And yet, the other side of that is just as wrong. Like, there are people on both sides of this equation that we're walking through that don't have good agendas, that are out to lead us astray and get us moving off. And so even if you're reading or hearing or looking at something and you just dial down for a minute, if it is bringing hatred to you, if it is bringing fear to you, one way or the other, put up a bit of a wall. Yes. Don't jump into it. Just say, Lord, I invite you to be a part of this and show me what is true here. Because whichever way you want to believe, you're going to find something that feeds that right now. And you're going to be able to go either any way you want. But the important thing is in this season that we go the way that God is leading us. The way that God wants us to go. And where He's going, He is the only one that we need to be in fear of. But the fear of Him is a fear that draws close, not one that makes you want to run and hide. Fear of Him is amazing. And He moves in love and peace in our lives. Those that don't know Him will be afraid in another way. But we who know Him will be drawn by that voice that we know. The sheep know the shepherd's voice, right? And we need to listen to that. We need to listen to it. There's a lot of well-meaning people out there that are saying things that are just really irresponsible in this season. And they don't make logical sense. And we need to be able to discern what it is we're hearing. So just an encouragement to wherever you go, invite Jesus. Whatever it is you're listening to or reading, whatever conversations you're involved in, invite Jesus to be a part of it. He will be there, and He will guide you, and you'll be amazed at the end in what He's done. We are not capable of going through this on our own. We need Him, and we need the body of Christ. It's important that we have one another. I've said from the very beginning, March 15th, I think it was, when this all rolled in, that we are an essential service, the church. The people need us as much as they need anything else that's out there. Because the one thing that has been overlooked in it all is the spiritual side of man. None of the authorities are dealing with that. And yet, every one of them would have acknowledged it before we went in. Oh yes, man has a spiritual side. We think that that's wonderful. But they're not making any provision for it in this time. They're making provision for our bodies, for our entertainment, to keep our minds going and our bodies going, but not our spirits. And I think that is to the detriment of mankind. And so we need to see what's going on. See the big picture, see the small picture. Be aware of it all. But you guys are smart. You'll see through this time. We'll go through this together and we'll see what God's really up to. Oh, he's amazing. I don't know how many times in the last month I've been asked, well, you're a spiritual man. Do you think this is end times? And my answer has been, every single time, yes, I do. I think this is end times. But I want to preface that by saying, so did Paul. I'm not trying to couch what I'm saying. I see so many things that just lead me to believe that our time is short. But you have to keep it in balance. Paul wrote that time was short. Whatever it is, we'll go through it with God. And he's going to be doing something absolutely wonderful. I thank him every morning for what it is that he's doing. I don't know what it is yet, but I know he's up to something wonderful. I haven't seen it yet, but I have a sense. Like distant thunder. Did I hear that? Was that thunder? Something's happening out there. Is there a storm coming? Can you see the clouds? It's that kind of wonderment. It's out there. He's doing something. And I'm really excited about what it might be. But anyway, that aside, I want to read from Matthew 13. And I'm going to read 31 to 33, and then 44 to 52. My normal reader has abandoned his post. He's back in Ontario somewhere, waiting for the go-ahead order to cross the border so that he can be united with his intended. So, David, if you're watching, we miss you. We look forward to seeing you again soon. Matthew 13, 31. He put another parable before them, saying, these parables are stories that people are able to connect with. They're Jesus' way of bringing an incredibly complex theological process to an agrarian culture, to a people that understood stories but didn't understand theology the way we might now. We are incredibly educated here. These were to simple people, and he wanted these simple people to grasp the wonder of what he was saying. So he put another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. Then I want to drop down to verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Wow. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, Men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. And so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ooh. Have you understood all these things? Now that's a really good question. Have you understood all of these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Amazing what he does, isn't it? So out of this, what do we do? What's happening here? In our day, if we're to process all of this, it's like breaking news, right? Now, we pay attention to those things these days. You see it on the bottom of your screen, whether it's the TV or the computer or whatever. You see breaking news. And it's got your attention all of a sudden because you know something more is going to be coming out of this. Something's happening. What is breaking? What is broken? (laughs) 9/11 was breaking news. It broke in on us in a terrible and awful way. It changed life as we here look at it. It changed airline travel. It changed trust. It changed so many things on so many different levels. In this year, I remember looking at the bottom of my computer screen and it had breaking news that Kobe Bryant and his daughter had just died in a helicopter accident. Breaking news. Of course, I wanted to know more about that. What on earth has happened there? But do you remember John Kennedy being shot? Some of you are of that age. Do you remember where you were when you heard that? Because it broke upon you like the breaking of the sea on the shore. Something big just breaks in on you. And it changes things. It's the sea, you're wet now. But with Kennedy, it changed an age. That even that president could be taken out. His brother, Robert Kennedy, you remember where you were when he was killed and the breaking news there. Or Martin Luther King. Terrible, terrible, terrible stories. But they came upon us as news flashes in one way or another. Breaking news was coming. And what we want is more. And in this day, I think that's what we want. There is something about us that is insatiably curious. Like, if my life is about to be changed, I want to know what's going on. Right? I want to know more about this thing. I want to be in on the inner circle, if you would. What is there about this adjective that modifies the word news? Breaking news. What is there about that? It's not just like news is usually news. You know, it's new stuff. But breaking news is it's big. So I think Jesus has breaking news happening here. Because you remember, contextually, the backstory is they had heard about the kingdom of God and it was coming. The kingdom of God is coming. Isaiah said it 800 years before, and they had been reading that in their scrolls for those 800 years. The kingdom is coming. They were taught that the kingdom is the future. The kingdom is down there somewhere. It's coming. It may be heaven, but the kingdom is coming. Some of them understood that the kingdom was coming with Messiah, and that he would free them from the evil tyranny that was upon them. But it was somewhere in the future. Jesus is breaking in and saying, kingdom's here. The kingdom is like this. And the words he uses are the now words, not the future words. This is what the kingdom is like. The kingdom is now. The kingdom is here. It's breaking upon you. The kingdom is here. Whose kingdom? God's. God is the king. In this gospel reading, it's not the kind of news that I talked about there, you know, the 9/11s, the murder of somebody, the tragic death of somebody. This is the great news that the kingdom is upon us. It's here. Now, many of us have been around church for a long time. Wes, you've been around for what, 300 years? It's old hat to us, some of us. The kingdom, oh yeah, I know all about the kingdom. I studied that, you know, probably been through that 4 or 5 times, you know, the kingdom. But it's just as relevant today as it ever was. I think it's more so now that we're going through all of this other stuff where the breaking news is breaking every time to keep us hopping from foot to foot. What are we going to believe? What are we going to believe? The kingdom is what we can believe. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is now. The kingdom of God is upon us. The kingdom of God is within you. Or as John the Baptist would thunder, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God. Jesus himself, after his baptism and temptation in the wilderness, began his ministry by announcing the same exciting, incredibly, and utterly novel news. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. That's Mark 1:15. Repent and believe the good news. This is the best news that humankind has ever received. In this news, you no longer have to work your way to God. If you martyr yourself, you will get your reward. If you work hard enough at becoming a perfect person, you will see what it's all about. If you work and are good, you will enter the heavenly gates. None of that is part of the good news, because it's all reliant on us, and we have never yet been able to do it on our own steam. No one achieves it on their own steam. The good news is it's all been done for us by the God who came to be with us and in us. We don't have to worry. We don't have to sweat. We don't have to become something that we are not. He will do the work. And he's achieved his ends already. It's just up to us to receive all of that. That's amazing good news. Amazing good news. So let's look at these particular things. There were five parables there that we were looking at. One says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. One says it's like yeast. One says it's like a treasure in a field. The other, an expensive pearl. And then there's the fishing net. So if we look at each one a little more carefully, like kind of dig into it just a bit. The mustard seed. Mustard seed, have you ever held a mustard seed? Little tiny grain. Really, really small. And yet when you plant it, it becomes something of substance. And it's a beautiful picture for God who, you know, Jesus talks about the sparrow and how his eye is on the sparrow. I think it's a home for those sparrows because the mustard tree, it isn't like an evergreen, but it does become a good size shrub. And it's a place where little birds like that, an eagle couldn't land on it, but a sparrow could, and we're likened to sparrows. You know? And so the picture, if we see it as a simple farmer might have, they knew that the mustard tree was a place that little birds could go into. It was not an unfriendly place. It wasn't a thorn bush. It wasn't, the kingdom of God is like a blackberry bush. Those that go near it will know its sharpness. You know, it's not anything like that. I have something I want to talk to God about. He's got people in the garden, and he's got two trees, and he says, don't go near the one, you know. Couldn't he have put prickle bushes around that tree? I mean, naked people and prickle bushes don't go well together. They would have stayed away. Anyway, just one of those thoughts. So this mustard seed thing, it's... No matter what ministry God has given you, how obscure or how tiny or how insignificant it might be, God may bring something incredible out of it. Just this week, I was with a couple of guys, and we were talking, guys that come to this church, and these are not guys that, you know, become part of the worship team or they enter in any particular way, but they were talking about how our worship leader, Amanda, she's gone right now, so I can talk about her. how she had changed their lives. And I went, what? When she sings, I enter into a place that I'd never experienced before. They both said that God talks to them in that time. They both said that they felt the presence of God when she leads worship. And I was, what do they call it, gobsmacked? You know, what? I didn't expect that from these two. Kind of guys on the outskirts. But yet God drew them near. God drew them near with worship. And in a way that I was not expecting in my own hard heart, they received something from someone who I know works hard at what she does and takes it very seriously, but once it's out there, it's planted like a mustard seed. It had become a place of refuge for these two guys. And any of us, just with a smile in the right place, take your mask off and try that. Everybody here has masks on. That's for at home. I don't know. Lord, it's just a sanctified lie. A smile, a kindness, allows the kingdom of God to break in on people. His love, his kindness, his gentleness. What is it that you're planting? Don't minimize it. Don't overlook it. Because it can become a welcoming place of refuge. Within that mustard seed tree, the sparrow isn't attacked by bigger birds. It's a safe place. And it can sing and it can enjoy life. It's wonderful. The mustard seed. Though we may never see these seeds grow and develop into a work that is important and meaningful in our lifetimes, they could carry on in ways that we don't even know. Stuff that you say to people offhandedly because it's become so natural to you, and you hear it every week in church, and it just kind of comes out and you don't even think about it, can change a life two or three generations down the road. Yeah. Because it's shared again and again. And you just don't know it. So let's look at yeast. That's mustard seed. The meaning of this metaphor is similar to the previous one. It's yeast is not significant in itself, right? It's not like chocolate. Chocolate is amazing. And chocolate added to anything is good. Well, maybe not anything, but dill pickles and chocolate aren't my favorite. But but it's small, virtually invisible, and it yields an astonishing product, much larger than what it was introduced to. Right. There, in this parable, the yeast is added by the woman to three measures of dough, in the Middle Ages, the commentators all thought that that was, you know, the yeast going into mankind. You know, the three-part man, you know, mind, will, and emotions, and body, mind, and our body, soul, and spirit, you know, that kind of stuff. So the three becomes, that might work for you, but I think there's a different picture here, in my mind anyway. And modern scholars hardly spend any time on that. What they're looking at here is the way it goes into something that is quite ordinary. Dough by itself, you ever tasted it? Not very good. It's almost tasteless. But you put the yeast in it, and you work it in, and it infiltrates every single part of that dough, and it becomes way bigger, and it becomes delicious because of the yeast that was introduced to it. Bread is miraculously transformed by little tiny yeast things. Amazing. It's amazing, I think. Yeah. The kingdom of God is a changing agent. It causes expansion, development, movement, a metamorphosis. The kingdom of God. So the good news, the breaking news of Jesus was that The kingdom is here. And in this kingdom, there is a place for you to rest. There is a place for you to be safe. And it is way bigger than you could imagine, starting from very, very little. It also impregnates you, every part of you, every aspect of your life, like yeast working through the dough, changing you. Is the dough aware of it? No. If it could be, I mean. It just happens. It's amazing. So then we'll look at two different ones. The treasure in a field and an expensive pearl. The two of them we'll look at. It was not uncommon in that time for people who had something of value, a little treasure, to go and bury it out back, right? To go and hide it. And every now and then you read about, some guy came across with a metal detector. Somebody had hidden a box, and in the box was Roman coins or something. You know, even today, 2,500 years later. Because somebody had gone out back and hidden their treasure. It's not an unusual thing to do. And so he's speaking to people about those kinds of things. And so this, Jesus is talking about someone who is just kind of making their way through their day and accidentally comes upon this treasure. Do, 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 do. Oh, what's that? They see the treasure. It's an accident. They weren't looking for it. And all of a sudden they see it. Oh, I'm not going to tell anybody. Cover that thing up. Now, what have I got that's worthwhile that I can buy this property? Because then it's mine legally. Anything that's in that property is mine. Not like now, you know, there's undersurface rights that are owned by everybody else. You can't really own your property. But then you could. Anything that was in it was yours. And so this guy would sell everything he had, and that he would then own the lot, and with the lot, all the dirt was in the lot, and within the dirt was this treasure that he knew was there. Amazing story. Everybody could identify with that, because they all had dreams of, you know, the old guy down the road that had buried his treasure and nobody ever found it when he died. So maybe I'll find it someday. So they're all thinking of those kind of things. And then there's this picture of this gem dealer who's actually purposefully looking around for gems. Looking for something of value. Looking for, this is a knowledgeable, seasoned person out on a purchasing trip. And he sees a pearl. And that pearl is of such value. Like, this isn't just a normal gem. This isn't your run-of-the-mill sapphire or ruby. This was so wonderful that this person of some substance, because he's buying gems, this person of substance wants to sell all that he has so that he can get that pearl. That pearl is so beautiful and so wonderful. That pearl is the kingdom of God. It's worth it. And so you see, two different aspects of the same sort of thing. One, do, 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 oh, there it is. It's come upon me. That's kind of how I came into the kingdom. You know, kind of making my way through life with no no ambition to be a pastor one day like that. I didn't even know that that was out there. But I came across this thing, and we have sold all to have what was buried in that land. Once you scoot it off the dirt, it's amazing what's there. But there's this other one that is purposefully looking. A person that is searching and searching. What is the meaning of life? What is it all about? And they become educated and processed, and they find what's there. C.S. Lewis kind of came upon the kingdom in he saw it while he was trying to disprove it or write stories about the gospel. Literary stories. But he saw the value of it, and being a man of intellect, a man of renown, put aside everything to go after that pearl. So beautiful was it to him. And how many stories do you hear that? So there's the accidental and there's the on purpose. No matter which way you come upon the gospel and the kingdom, it's there for you. And it's amazing for you. And it's worth everything you could think of. And so the fifth one is the fishing net. And this one is amazing. Because it talks about good overcoming evil. They toss out the bad fish. Now, fish are often looked at as mankind, but it's exactly what it's looking at here. There's good fish and there's bad fish. I've owned aquariums over the years. There are good fish and bad fish. Some fish want to eat all your good fish. They become the bad fish. They get introduced to the toilet really quickly. Don't eat my expensive fish. My God complex comes out within fish. You die. The net is amazing because it's cast out there and it draws all to the thrower of the net, at the kingdom in this case. And there are some good and some evil. The evil ones are thrown where there's gnashing of teeth. Boo. And the good ones go to someplace wonderful. And that is a joy. Now, what would that have spoken to the people at that time about? Of course, there is this good-evil juxtaposition or process that we're looking at. But there also is provision. They understood that you throw a net out because you want to eat tomorrow. There is a promise in here of provision for your future in the kingdom of God. We know, because we're also educated, that more than a third of what Jesus talks about is money related. Must be important. But in here, there's a promise that the kingdom has provision attached to it. There are good things that you will pull out. You might have to toss out the odd ugly fish, the odd thing that just isn't fun to be around. The odd thing that you went after but wasn't good. Oop, made a mistake there. Shouldn't have brought a shark in. But the other fish are, you could sell. And you could have some money. Provision is there. So, You see, what Jesus is laying out for us, as he laid out for the simple farmers and fishermen that he was speaking to in that day, the same way for us. The kingdom of God is such good news that whatever you're doing, however insignificant you think you are, there is a value for you. There is a place of safety for you. There is a place of wonder where you can actually get into and you can sing, let your voice go. Like a songbird. A place of wonder that came out of a little tiny seed. And out of other little tiny seeds, there is this wonder that the kingdom will work within you, changing every aspect of who you are, making you into a kingdom person. Does it happen all at once? No. But yeast isn't an instantaneous thing. It's a process. And the pictures that he is showing here, it's not like one overlaps the other. Just because it's a parable, it's all about the same thing. It's not. There is so much good news in this. And we look at the accidental discovery of the kingdom as opposed to the purposeful searching of the kingdom. Both are rewarded. Both find the treasure of such value, such high value, that everything else can be put away. Anything that was thought to be of value before loses its luster and it becomes secondary to the value of the kingdom of God, which in breaking news is upon us. The good news he hadn't even shared with them, that temple that you see there is going to be inside of you. You will carry the presence of God everywhere you go. Is that good news? They wouldn't have been able to handle that good news. But he was showing them something absolutely life-changing here. And it's a net that you throw out into the sea. Now, do you know you're going to catch fish? They didn't have fish finders then, right? Oh, yeah, there's a school down there. There's 68 fish down there. Think we can get 68? Throw the net over. There's nothing like that. Some days there's fish down here. Some days there's not. That's more like the fishermen then, you know. Like, maybe we'll be lucky. You know? Maybe God will bless if you push it off the right side instead of the left this time, Moshe. The provision of God is in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus was breaking news to them. The banners were going across the bottom of their TV screens and their computers. All of these farmers are watching for the news. And it said, breaking news, the kingdom of God is at hand. That is such good news. And it's as good a news today as it was back then. So what's our place in that? No matter where you are, no matter how small the seed is that you're going to sow, don't hide it. Share it. It is needed today. People need a solid foundation, not one that is built upon the sand, that's going to wash away as soon as the seas of change come along. People desperately need and desperately want to know. I've had a chance to share gospel with people in this last month that they haven't become Christians yet, but they're hearing the story because, Pastor, is this end times? I think so. Want to know what you can do? And they listen like it's breaking news today because they need it. And it's there for all of us. So carry your mustard seed or your little bit of yeast. Carry it out with you wherever you go and cast it like you would cast a net. You never know what it will bring. You never know what you will achieve in the kingdom. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. And do it without fear, without reservation. Know that the kingdom of God is a place of safety and God will be with you. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Brother Ron, do you want to wind it up for me? You feel like doing that? I didn't ask him, or he just kind of comes up and does this out of the goodness of his heart. So thank you. Yeah, I think it's on. Is it green?
It's on.
Okay.
So the kingdom of God is upon us. Praise God. Good stuff. So as Pastor said, you know, how do we apply each of those things in our lives? Just a note about the mustard seed. A number of years ago, have you heard of Aiko Orman? A little Japanese lady. And anyway, she used to work in NASA. And she brought up this thing about the mustard seed. And just another little thing about it. The mustard seed, at NASA, they do studies on plants and different things and see what they can do with them. And they took the mustard seed and they tried to mutate it, change it, like, you know, how they would take apple trees and try to get a hybrid and do all that stuff. And with all those studies, and they found that they could do nothing to it. They couldn't change it. It was pure, and it could not be changed, which is incredible. Yeah, so incredible. So the mustard seed, so that's our faith, and that's what God wants to do in us, pure and unchangeable in Christ. As you're talking about the kingdom, I kept thinking, kingdom, Jesus is the kingdom. And then I think, Jesus, it's the Word. The Word came and dwelt among us. Yeah. When I was a young Christian, struggling through things, and I'd be saying, Lord, like, just what is this about? And I had a close friend at the time, just and he would say to me, just get into the Word. Get into the Word of God. And as I started to do that, it's like the principle of gravity. You drop something, it falls. And the Word of God is like that for us. It changes us. We don't need to work at it. We don't need to try to do any changing. But as we just come in and start to agree with what God says, it changes us. And it started to do that to me. And I'm just so thankful for that. The Word of God is so important. And the leaven, of course. Yesterday, this young lady that we had the privilege to bring to the Lord a couple weeks ago, Mia, she came over and spent time with Bonnie yesterday. And I would drop in at times, and Bonnie would ask me to come and pray, and we'd talk a bit. And Mia would be sitting there, and all of a sudden she'd go, oh, I get it. It's like aha moments. And that's what God does too as we go searching for those treasures. There's the ones that sort of just we come upon, but as we go searching and get into the Word and search out God, we have aha moments. The light bulb comes on because truth is setting us free. And it's just incredible. Just yesterday as we were spending time with her, just seeing her come into freedom. Just in that one, you know, hour with her. So we can all be encouraged by that. And then the net, that we ourselves will be like a net cast out and bringing those in. It's incredible. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that teaching. So, Father, yes. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness today, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that every day your heart is that more and more we would just know you. We would know your love towards us. We know that we can trust you and that you are changing us as we just set our heart towards you and we partake of your word, that you shall change us. You shall make us into the people you want us to be, that we will be kingdom people. So we thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for all those that today are spending time listening to you, searching you out, fellowshipping with you. And Father, we just say we're grateful. Our hearts are grateful for what you are doing, what you continue to do. And Lord, for all of those today that need a touch from you, where there's some pains, some places of healing, maybe some insecurities, some fears, things that they're working through. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you touch today, that you set your people free. And again, we thank you, Lord God, for the word today that you've called us to be kingdom people. And just show us, Lord God, draw us by your Spirit and lead us more in what you have for us. So the Lord says today, my people, go and just be my hands, be my feet, be my voice, and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.